If you look at your outline on your bulletin, and your first look at it, you will say, what in the world is the pastor doing? He's going to talk about rocks. Well, here's something that I have learned over the years, that God can take any inanimate object, it doesn't matter what it is, and He, God, and God alone, can give power to that basically inanimate object, such as a rock, and cause those stones or anything else that you're looking at over here in your life, and He will give life to that inanimate object. Now, that's very difficult for each of us. I remember many years ago when they would, Larry Vance is about as dumb as a box of rocks. I don't know if they said that about my judgment. And, you know, I would laugh at those comments. And then I started looking at Scripture and studying more, and I thought, you know, who is the really foolish ones? And those who truly don't see the power of our living God or understand. Sometimes we get way too intellectual. Sometimes we get educated above what we can handle. And when I was doing background studies on different times in Scripture where God uses stones as an example and to use that inanimate object to fulfill His will. You see, that then lets me know for sure that God says, I am the creator of all. There's no such thing as a universe that wasn't created by God. There's no such thing that anything living or seeming not to live is not under God's control. And that God can give that object power. But we want to limit God based on what we think, and well, now this is how I see God. Folks, I cannot tie down by any means any aspect of creation and saying, yeah, well, that can't happen, that won't happen, that, what do we know? Because you see, God says, I am God. There's no other God, there's only one God. And He said, I am the one that can make a difference in your life. I'm the one that's told you, you take off towards the mountain and I'll move it out of your way. God says, I'm the one that can speak. And just through my speaking or my thoughts, cause something that's not even alive to react. What we know about Joshua and the hornets, God used, and God comes back to Joshua and says, Joshua, you did not take Jericho by the sword. I sent the hornet. Well, you know, I got to understand it. God's talking to all the creatures. And then God comes along time after time, and He says, speak to the mountain and it'll move. Well, in studying the background of it, a lot of these intellectuals, or if that's what you want to call them, they said, well, there was a mess up in the Scripture. I've heard that my whole life. God doesn't mess up people. There's no mess up in the Scripture. Well, here's what they said. Yes, but you know, it talks about the capstone and the cornerstone being the same thing, and then of course the keystone. And all through this, that the capstone, the keystone, and the cornerstone, scholar says, well, you have to understand that Jesus was used to carpentry. So he wouldn't know about masonry. And I'm thinking, where are you people coming from on this stuff? Because I want us to understand something. Now, the cornerstone is the base stone of a building. Used to be, I'm sure it still is, but they'd lay that one base stone, which is called a cornerstone, and then all the rest of the building was built, put in plumb according to that stone, that cornerstone. And then the capstone happened to be the most beautiful of stones that they would have, and it'd go right on the top. And the keystone always dealt with an arch. Now, many said, well, you know, that's the power. The power was in all, and this is great for us as a church. After all is built around on that arch, when the keystone is added, the strength comes from all the others that it connects. Are you getting it? So Almighty God sent His Son, who happens to be the cornerstone, upon this rock I will build my church. He happens to be the keystone of the church, for without Christ it can never hold together. And He happens to be the capstone, the most beautiful, the largest, the most powerful. And God says, that's who my Son is. So what's going on today? We as human beings have a tendency to attempt to control what God says. We will read God's word, but then we will share from our own thinking. That's not scriptural, folks. I will never put any limit on God. When God says, this I will do, the Lord saved me. How in the world could I ever put a limit on Him? How many times have you said, if He could save me, He can save anybody? Well, Jesus was getting ready to come in to Jerusalem for that last week. Palm Sunday begins next Sunday, and for that week of Holy Week, Jesus was going in. And we learn a whole lot about looking at what the Lord tells us we need to be looking at in our life. Jesus says, you have to build your focus on me, the foundation, the cornerstone. Both are interchangeable terms, the foundation or the cornerstone. And when you build it on me, the rock, I want you to know that you are going to be solid. Well, you see, it doesn't matter then what the world does to me or what people think about me. When you have built your life on the foundation of who Jesus is, He remains in control. And He's tried to tell every generation and teach that very message. I'm in charge. Oh, yes, but the Lord, you can't do this. I don't even like being in a room with people who talk about what God can't do. It's frightening. So God says, tells us, you know, study the ants. I remember reading that and I think, why do I want to study about the ants, Lord? Why did you tell me in your word, Lord, that there's not a bird, sparrow, bird, that falls from the sky, that you're not there and you see them? Why, Lord, did I need to know the message of every hair on our head is numbered? Why, Father, in looking at your word, did you remind me that you take a look at every tear that is shed by your children? Been a lot of tears over the years, haven't they? A lot of hurt, a lot of pain. But, Lord, now I can relate to that. I can relate that you're looking at the hurt through the tear. Oh, I remember that one preacher was, really on fire for the Lord. And he said, if you could grab one of those tears and hold it just right towards the sun, you'd get a little glimpse of heaven. Well, in my younger days, I tried that. But you see, God says, I will use everything to give you the strength to stand for me. Doesn't matter what a great army of human beings can threaten. Jesus reminds us of something. He tells us, first of all, that stones, rocks, can talk. Well, I remember Balaam's donkey. The animals talked, but a rock is going to talk. Remember now, Jesus is coming in, and they're saying, Hosanna! Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah! And the Pharisees standing around, and they said, teacher, rabbi, stop them from saying that you are the one that has come, the one who's promised that you are the Christ. Stop them. Listen to what Jesus says to them. In Luke 19, verse 40, I'll tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. If the human race gets to such a hard-hearted point in their life to where we have pushed the truth of God out of the way, God says, then the stones will speak. That you can never ever stop the truth of God. You can kill me. You can kill all the other Christians. But you're going to have a hard time finding all the rocks and stopping them. All creation moans and groans, the scripture says, for in agony the earth is getting ready to die. Sure, we know that. God said it would happen. But the rocks will cry out. Isn't it interesting that in the Revelation you will find the stories of that great day of judgment? When those who have refused to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, walking all the way to the grave, refusing to accept love, to accept mercy, to accept peace that God offers, and turn their back on the very blood that was shed on that cross for each one of us. Do you know what Jesus says those people will do? They will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on us. But they will not. They will seek to die. But they cannot. Folks, we have missed a great truth, a spiritual truth in God's Word. You and I, as Christians, during that resurrection, our bodies will be changed and glorified just like the body of Christ. That's the promise of the Lord. No more human condition for us. If the rapture comes, God said, well, I'm going to change you right in midair. Can't you picture people saying, I just don't believe that can happen. Folks, again, put no limits on God's power. If you cannot believe and trust in who Christ is, how will you ever believe and trust in any of the creation that Christ has given us? God gave us everything on earth for our pleasure. Did you know that? For our pleasure. And the Lord says, I can cause anything to speak. But if you continue to allow your head to be as hard as a rock and your spirit to be shut up inside, refusing to listen when I speak to you, when you harden your heart, the time will come when I will seek no more to give you that warning. That frightens me, and I know I'm heaven bound. I don't want to see anyone going to hell. No one. Hell wasn't even created for the human race. God says it created for the devil and his angels. Well, what does that mean? I don't have any idea. Neither does anybody else. But God said, not you. I've given you an opportunity. Don't harden your heart. You're going to harden your heart to the point that when I break loose, you got to remember this, folks. The individuals, the lost, as Christians call them, the individuals who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, when their bodies are brought back, their bodies are brought back in the same human condition that they went in that ground. Not a spiritual body. We understand. Don't let our spirit be so hardened like a rock. We don't understand. You see, in a glorified body, in a spiritual body, you would feel no pain. You could not feel fire. But the judgment is that you'll be stuck in a human body throughout eternity. Now, that's hell. And there will be no remedy. That's hell. When you can have no longer the peace of mind as long as Christ touches our lives, there's hope for those who know not Jesus. You're that hope. I'm that hope. And God is saying, preach my word. Tell them the truth. Hell is not a place, my friends, where you're going to have a party with your friends according to Scripture. Hell is a lonely place where you know nothing but pure pain. Now, your friends may be there, but you're not going to party with them. There's no such thing as partying in hell. Because you see, when Almighty God warns all those on planet Earth that if you refuse to preach my word and call me in the name by which my Father's given me, you have no hope. But Jesus' name will be preached if it takes a rock to do it. And the Lord says, I am all three. I happen to be your foundation cornerstone. I happen to be your capstone that brings the strength to all the other stones. And I happen to be, the capstone is at the top, the keystone. I'm all of them. I'm what holds you together. Stones also can hear. Have you ever been accused of being hard-headed? His head's about as hard as a rock. Now, you'd never say that about anybody, right? But think of it. When we harden our heart, well, Jesus spoke of the heart of stone will be melted down to the heart of flesh. Pliable. When you talk to me. Luke 4, verse 3, this was the temptation that Satan was tempting Jesus with. Think of it. Satan. Every spiritual being knows God is who he says he is. Jesus is his son. They know. There's no question. Satan knows. He also knows he's got a short time. So what can he do? I'll harden their hearts like a stone. And Jesus says, I'll give them a new heart. Whoever confesses me before man, I will confess them before my Father in heaven. Jesus knows us. And yet we back off. Well, somebody's going to think I'm a religious fanatic. I don't see much danger of that nowadays. I don't hear enough folk even talking about being a Christian out in public, much less standing up for the truth of Christ. But those stones can hear. Listen to what Satan is attempting to tempt Jesus with. Luke 4:3, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God. Is that not the way Satan tempts you and I? If you were a real Christian, see, you would not have done that. You would not have said that. Therefore, you must not be a Christian. And then what happens? Christians get that in their thought process. Well, you know, it must be that I'm really not. What do I need to do now to get closer to the Lord? Well, you know, what do I need to do? I've got to do something because they've just told me that I must not be a Christian. The world has no authority over calling you a Christian as to whether you are or not. That's why Christians, you don't you ever dare point out an individual and say, you're going to hell. That's not your call. That's not your call. And you better thank God that it isn't. But what you are to do, all of us as Christians, is to warn them that it is real. But to tell them they don't have to go there. Listen to the voice. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Now see, Jesus would never mention talking to a stone, talking to a rock, if that rock couldn't hear it. Even Satan knew it. See, Satan has no doubt of who Jesus is. And the Lord said, look, I'll send you the stones. You can build your homes, protect you from the weather. But don't allow your heart to be hardened like those stones. For when you refuse to tell the world about me, how's it going to feel one day when the Lord would say, Larry, I told you to tell them, yet you did not want to hurt any feelings, and you were just wanted people to like you. Larry, I had to use a rock to get my message across. You missed a chance of a great blessing. Each one of us have missed chances of great blessings, have we not? God would open the door, here's a blessing. But it wasn't popular to walk through that door. Satan says, speak to the rock and it'll turn bread. Don't you love what Jesus said? Man cannot live by bread alone, but, I love that with you, but by every word of God. I cannot live by bread alone, but I can live by every word of God. Because my Lord is able to turn that stone into bread. If I trust my life to Him, if you and I will trust our walk, then we can witness our Savior, the cornerstone of all creation. No such thing as an inanimate object in the realm of God. All earth will glorify. All the animals will look up. The lion will lay down with the lamb. That's control. That's the love of God. We hurt today because we have chosen to hurt. That's right. We have allowed our hearts to become so hard, we're just tired of fighting. I don't have to fight. The battle's already taken care of. The war is over. What should I fear? Oh, they will kill you. Really? Now, why would they want to bless me like that? If they don't like me, why would they want to bless me? And not only that, I got news for every one of them. You cannot put your hand on a Christian unless Almighty God allows it. And if He allows it, that Christian will be shouting hallelujah right in the process because he's out of that body. You may have a corpse, but you don't have that Christian. We must shut the viciousness of the Christian faith. That's strange to me. I don't remember we crucifying people, Christians. I don't remember us doing that. I thought it was all those who hate Christians are cutting their heads off, crucifying them. And then all of a sudden, well, you Christians cause this. You know, nobody can cause me. I'd be like the guys that I dealt with in the jail over the years, and girls. Chaplain Vance, now I was out with the wrong crowd and they made me get drunk. Made him get drunk. I said, I thought those were your friends and you were really the one in charge. Yeah, but they made me. And God looks at that too. You know, Lord, I just couldn't get it together. Your walk with Christ has nothing to do with you getting it together. Your walk with Christ has to do with you saying, Lord, here am I. Send me through your power, through your love, through your hope, through your salvation. Father, it is about the blood. But it's about Jesus' blood, not yours and not mine. Love folks, Christian. But I want you studying. But I want you studying on your knees. I want you studying in a prayerful manner. Lord, reveal to me your word spiritually. Don't ever get caught up in that mind of yours. I guarantee you ask your spouse, they'll tell anybody that that's a dark, deep place and they're afraid to get in your mind. Right? I got enough in my own mind to deal with. Do you ever notice all the memories in the past? The ones that keep coming up more and more often are the ones that were bad. That's not God doing that. God gave us a memory for a purpose, to remember my loved ones, to remember His word, to remember His truth. If Jesus says, I will put your sins as far as the east is from the west, how come you keep wanting to remember them? Is it just because you really don't want to serve the Lord and you need a good excuse by saying, well, I'm not really that much of a Christian? Being a Christian is about who Jesus is, not about who you are. The prophets had declared that Jesus would be the capstone, but He would also be that judgment stone. Now, I want you to listen to this scripture, and it's the last one, but you're going to see the power of the cornerstone, the keystone, and the capstone. Listen well to it. Matthew 21, verses 42 and verse 44. Jesus said to them, Now you got to listen to this one. Jesus is talking to the religious leaders, the very, very intellectual, smart folk. And He asked them, have you never read in the scriptures? And I want you to stop there for a moment. That's a question asked today, I know. You know, have you never even read in the scriptures what I've said? Because you act like you don't know it. And yet you're the leaders. You're the ones that are supposed to be presenting my truth. Have you even ever read my word? The stone, he says, the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Think of that. The Lord has done this. What was he talking about? Look at verse 44. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Foundational stone. You don't fall on a capstone. Foundational stone. If you refuse to accept the word of Christ, it will break you. But ultimately, look at the role another stone plays. The capstone. But he on whom it falls will be crushed. The word truly means to pulverize, dust. Meaning you can trip over throughout your life the foundational truth and it'll break you. But if you hold on to the ways of the world, focusing on it being your truth, there will come a time to when that capstone will come off on you and crush you. God says they're my stones. I created them. I talked to them. I can build them up into mountains. I can level them out at any moment, at any time. God doesn't even need to speak to have it done. He says, it all belongs to me. What breaks our heart, Christians? God says to you and I am God. There's no other. I own it all. Everything. No limits. But then he tells us and gives us the message. I own it. I control it. And I give it all to you. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I love you so much with what I own and have created for you for a good reason, for a good purpose. I let my own son die on that cross for those who didn't even like him, for those who mocked him. Jesus died for the lost, folks. He died for you and me. And he says, when you believe in me, all that I have is yours. And I have to picture this great love of Easter. When you call on my name, my Father will love you as much as he loves me. Ha! Do you ever think about that? That's what Easter's about. Jesus saying, what I will do, I will offer at the end of this, during that resurrection, he's offering our name. We're family. Oh, don't miss it. Not only are we family, he says, my Father in heaven will love you as much as he loves me. God really loved his son, didn't he? It was so much love there. It was his son that said, Father, nevertheless, let your will be done. I can tell you now, humanly, Scripture tells us Jesus did not want to go to that cross. He did not want to go through that suffering. If there was another way, he said, Father, let me take it. Nevertheless, thy will be done. A lot of stories in the Bible about stones. And every story deals with God's power. Oh, folks, read them. Think of that stone in the hand of those getting ready to stone the women. And ever so often they'd stone a man. If God speaks to that stone, it becomes too heavy and they'll have to drop it. Listen, that pew is classified as an inanimate object. I'm sorry. But sometimes we Baptists get so connected to those that pew that we become about as inanimate as the wooden pew is, refusing to stand up for the truth. Now that's the truth. But we must search our heart. God says, I love you. And let the mountains say so. Let the heavens say so. Let all that's created say so. Therefore, it is so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Father, for your word. Oh, remind us, Father, your greatness supersedes all that we can imagine. And Father, there are no limits. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for the hope. We thank you, Father, for the mercy, the grace. We praise your name for Jesus. I ask now, Father, touch our hearts that we'll come alive in your truth, that we will truly stand up for what you call us to stand up to. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.